excited to get back into our series, Heart Connections. And we're learning about how do we connect with the hearts of those in our family and then guide their hearts to the heart of God. And we spent some time talking about the need for training. We've got to train the hearts of our family, our children. Then we talked about chastening. Part of the whole package is getting in there and providing biblical discipline and correction when needed. And then we've been talking about connection. How do we connect with the hearts of our children? And when we think about connection, we're going to talk this morning about whether or not we are Velcro or cactus. Now, Brother Hopkins was so kind to get this cactus for me. And so this is the illustration of what not to be, all right? And we're going to talk this morning about whether or not you are Velcro or you are cactus. In other words, in your home life, when you are around your spouse or around your children, are you cactus, which repels people away from you, or are you Velcro? Now, Velcro is awesome. I don't know how many of you use Velcro, but it has one side and then another side. You put these two together, and then usually there's some adhesive on the back, and you can hang pictures, you can hang small children. You can do a lot of stuff with Velcro. It's pretty incredible, the strength and the durability and how long Velcro will last. But Velcro brings things together. So cactus, nobody wants to roll around in this, but Velcro brings things together. And in our relationships, in any relationship that we have, in marriage and in family, we want to think this morning about whether or not we are Velcro, bringing relationships together, or cactus, are repelling people away from us. It's like the lady who had the coffee mug in the morning and it read, "I don't like morning people," or mornings, or people. And sometimes that's the way people feel. I just don't like anything. I don't like people. I don't like anything that may be going on around us. But when we think about the need in our relationships to be Christ-centered, Holy Spirit-filled, and bringing the right chemistry to our relationships, we want to think about the idea of being Velcro, holding things together in our home, not cactus and repelling. Now, it really comes down to you and I making a decision to be cheerful. Okay, when you have a cheerful countenance and constitution, people like being around that. Now, that doesn't always come naturally. But let me, now some of you are naturally cheerful. I mean, you just bounce out of bed at 4 a.m, big smile from ear to ear, and you're ready to roll and tackle the world. How many of you are like that, kind of naturally cheerful, all right? How many of you are not like that? You're like, that's not, okay, the vast majority in this room, that is not me. It doesn't matter if it's 4 a.m, 4 p.m, I'm never just naturally cheerful. Okay, but let me challenge you this morning. If that's not who you are naturally, then get it supernaturally from the Lord, all right? God wants you and I to be cheerful. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." God wants you and I to rejoice in our life. Now, well, I don't have anything to rejoice about. Yes, you do. God loves you. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and lived a perfect life, but at the end of His life, He died on the cross to pay for your sins so you could spend an eternity in heaven. You have something to rejoice about. And if everybody would take the time to think about it, you would have something to be thankful for. And so God wants you and I to rejoice. But to live that way, it has to come from Him. So notice this powerful verse in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 13. Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So you and I, in believing in the Lord, can abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. So you may not naturally be a rejoicing person, a happy person, a pleasant person, a cheerful person, but in the power of the Holy Ghost, you can. I saw Jen just text me, don't touch the cactus. Well, I already touched it, and I think I'm dying of poison right up here. So if I fall over up here, you'll know why. The Hopkins poisoned me, and Susanna can have the whole gift basket to herself, all right? I'm just teasing. I'll try not to touch it. Maybe it's because I'm messing it up. I don't know. Psalms 118. I love this verse. I teach it to my kids all the time. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know what's in that verse? A decision. This is the day. We're all alive today. Whose day is it? It's the Lord's. It's His gift to us. So what is our choice in today? I will rejoice in it. Now, some people will muddle through today and never rejoice about anything. Some people will go through today and will talk about their problems all day long, how big and how numerous they are. Some people will go through today and just criticize everything. They don't like my cactus. They don't like our gift. They thought our vacation was stupid. Why is he holding this Velcro? I don't even get it. This doesn't even make sense. I mean, they're just critical about everything, and that's just the way they roll, just the way they see everything. It's the way they process it. But the Bible says, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That is a decision. I am going to rejoice in the day that God has given to me. So we must choose in God's power to be a person that is cheerful and pleasant to be around. Sometimes we can be hard to please. Maybe we're quick to criticize. Maybe our first tendency is to be a little more negative in our reaction in our relationships. Maybe we struggle to honor effort because we're looking for perfection all of the time. Maybe when we're listening to our kids in our minds, we're like, just get to the point. Come on already. You've been talking too long or whatever the case may be. And we struggle in our thinking of being positive about anything relational in our home. Can I remind us this morning, if that is us or we have that tendency, we're going to have a very difficult time connecting with the children that God has given to us, because it's going to be really hard for them to look forward to wanting to be with us, because quite frankly, we're not any fun to be with. We're this poisonous plant right here, as opposed to the Velcro maybe that God wants us to be. So we got to strive to be cheerful all of the time. And now listen, every child knows that no father or mother is perfect. We're not going to bat 1,000. We're not going to come home, top side every day about everything. But we've got to work at being cheerful in our home and our relationships. It's like the dad who came home late from work, and he was tired. He was irritated. He was worn out. And his 5-year-old son was waiting right at the front door for him to get home. And his dad saw him as he was walking into the front entryway, and the boy looked at him and said, "Daddy, I've got a question for you." His dad said, "What's that?" He said, "How much do you make an hour?" And his dad said, "None of your business." He said, no, really, I want to know, how much do you make an hour?" And he said, "Well, if you must know, I make $25 an hour." And then the boy looked at his dad and he said, "Dad, well, then could I borrow $10? Man, his dad got so mad at that. He said, "If you just wanted to know how much I made so you could ask me for money, you go to your room." And that boy went up to his room, and that dad was so mad at his son. And the dad thought about it a little bit later and thought, what if he needed something, or what if there was something to that? So he went up to the boy's room and feeling bad, and he walked in and he said, "Son, here's the $10. I don't know what it is that you needed, but there you go." And his son was so happy. He was like, "Dad, thank you so much." And his son went over to his piggy bank and brought it up to the bed where his dad was standing. And he poured out the money. And his dad saw that his boy already had money and then got mad all over again. It was like, "Why are you asking me for money when you already have money? I don't even understand what you're doing." And his son was like, Dad, don't be mad. I only had $15, but with your 10, now I have 25. And I wanted to see if I could buy an hour of your time." Now, children have a need in their heart to be close to their parents. They have a need in their heart to be connected. It's something God hardwired them with. It's something that they need. It's the way that they're built. It's the way that God created them. They need to connect, and they need us to connect with them, to desire to connect with them, to delight in connecting with them, and to encourage them along the way. In fact, on the short list of responsibilities in parenting. Notice what the Bible says in Colossians 3:21 in your notes. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Fathers, mothers, don't discourage them. One of your jobs is to encourage them. So how can we be more like Velcro in our relationships, less like a cactus? How can we be cheerful? How can we encourage our children? Some simple practical thoughts. Number one, encouragingly speak their name. Encouragingly speak their name. Like you would welcoming a friend you've not seen in a long time. When you see your children, speak their name in an encouraging way. You want your children to be proud of their name. You don't want your children to be afraid when you speak their name. All right. Now, there may be a time when you say their name in a specific way that they know, man, I better stop whatever I'm doing. Right. And that's just a gift that God gives parents, I guess. It's really kind of fun. But anyway, and there are times where that is necessary. All right. But when we speak their name most often, it should be done in an encouraging and a positive way. We want them to be proud of their name. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And so we want to speak their name encouragingly. We want them to know that when we say their name, it means a lot because we cherish the relationship that we have with them. Number two, we want to phrase correction so it can still be affirming. Now, part of parenting is correcting. We've learned this in this series already. We're not going to successfully parent without providing biblical correction along the way. We need it from God. Our children need it from us. It's part of the journey. It's part of the responsibility that we have as father and mother. But we want to phrase our correction where it is still in an affirming way. What do I mean by that? We want to avoid being rude when it comes to our children and correction. We want to avoid a critical spirit that does not represent authority well. When God has given you authority, that is a position of honor with great responsibility. But it doesn't mean it has to be a mean-spirited position. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be critical. You can still carry the authority that God has given to you biblically and successfully and correctly without being critical or rude. The Bible says in Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, they may know how you ought to answer every man. So if we should always speak with grace with others, how much more with those in our own house? So make sure you guard your mouth. Lord, help me to speak with grace as I'm communicating with my spouse, as we're communicating with our children. May we do so always with grace, even when it's correction, even when it's discipline. We want to make sure there's affirmation in every sentence that we speak of our love for the children that God has given to them. Number three, how else can we be encouraging to our children in these relationships? Give them the benefit of the doubt. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Now, someone that you are close to and you have a connection with, when you hear something, you don't automatically assume that that person is wrong or has failed in some way or is just incompetent or stupid or whatever the case may be. Even when they have made a mistake and you can sense that they're troubled by it, the response from you or I in a loving nature is to help them through it, not to beat them up over it. And so we want to be careful with our children to give them the benefit of the doubt. You understand, when we go through the process of training, chastening, we're connecting with our kids. Things are going to happen in the course of life. They're going to make mistakes, but they need to know that we love them, giving them the benefit of the doubt, recognizing that, hey, even if a mistake was made, I don't know that it's a rebellious heart. Or if that happened, maybe it wasn't the way I perceived it. Let me understand it first and investigate before I come to judgment. And if I'm dealing with a rebellious spirit, then yes, I've got to resolve that. But if I'm not, then I've got to be careful because I don't want to kill a housefly with a sledgehammer. Because when I choose to take that route, I usually do more damage than it's worth. Is the fly dead? Yes. Is the house destroyed? Yes. I got to be careful. The Bible says this about love in 1 Corinthians 13. Charity suffereth long and is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. When you and I have biblical love in our home and relationships, there's not considering all the time evil being thought of someone. There's an enduring, there's a long-suffering, there's an accepting, there's a, listen, we are connected, we have a relationship. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, you're going to make mistakes, I'm going to make mistakes, but we're going to be fine and we're going to get through it together. There's a benefit of the doubt given. And so often that brings great strength to marriages and to homes alike. Number four, how can we be encouraging in our homes? Number four, look for something to compliment. Look for something to compliment. Make these a meaningful compliment that you can give to the house, to the families, the family members in your household. Proverbs 18:21, the Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. As you and I speak, we're bringing death or we're bringing life. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:25, heaviness on the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Are you known in your family for complimenting others meaningfully in your household? That's something that everyone in this room could do. That's not a spiritual gift. It's not just something reserved for the elitist. It's something everyone in this room could say, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to look for something for every family member in my house every day to compliment. Hey, I noticed you did this, whatever it was. Thank you for doing that. Man, I'm proud of you. That's awesome. Keep that up. Just look for something to compliment. Fellas, it might even be to your wife. Honey, you look beautiful today. I love you in that dress or whatever. Just, I mean, she might fall over dead. I don't know. But just look to compliment. All right? Look for something to meaningfully, genuinely express gratitude for. Look for something to compliment. Number five, engage conversation with skillful questions. How can we be more like Velcro in our relationships and less like a cactus? How can we be cheerful all the time and bring connection to our relationships? Well, we can engage conversation with skillful questions. Too often, we are too quiet in the relationships that matter most. And when we are quiet, what we don't know is that is communicating something. When we are quiet, sometimes it communicates, I'm here, but I'm not here. Right? You ever been in the car with somebody and you're going down the road and it's really quiet and it's getting awkward? And it's like, what do we talk about next? You know? And it's a bummer when it's like someone that you're related to. And you're like in the car and you're like, what do we talk about now? You know, this shouldn't be hard. We're related. You know, this is my spouse or my child or whatever the case may be. And if we're not careful, that silence is communicating, I'm here physically, but I'm not here emotionally. I've checked out. I'm not investing in our relationship. Or that silence can communicate, I'm upset. A lot of guys get in trouble with this one because to us, hey, nobody said anything. What's, you know, no harm, no foul. And sometimes we can go a good while with silence, and our wife gets really irritated by that, and we're like, really? I didn't even say anything. How can I get in trouble for something I didn't even say? You know? I mean, I thought at least if I was quiet, I was safe. You know, you're not. You're not. Why? Because silence communicates hostility. It can be perceived as something is wrong. You're upset about something. Or it can just be communicating that you're ignoring someone, that your silence communicates maybe you don't value them or cherish them as you should. So how do we avoid that? Silence in relationships, we need to learn to ask questions. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Boy, if you want to go to a well and get deep water, it's going to take a little work. You're going to have to draw that out. But it's going to be refreshing. It's going to be phenomenal when you get it. Well, how can we get to know the heart of someone? You're going to have to draw that out. You're going to have to ask questions. I hate being answered when I'm talking with my kids or something, and yes or no. So I try really hard to ask questions that you cannot answer with a yes or no. So like I don't ask Mariah, Mariah, did you have a good day today? Because you can give me a yes for that. I won't do that. I'll say something like, Mariah, tell me something good that happened to you at school today. And I'll just listen. Susanna likes this thing around the table where they give a good thing, a bad thing, and I forget the third thing. And I always hate the bad thing because it's like, who wants to hear about your bad thing? You know, it's all good. It's all, you know, but there are bad things that happen, I suppose, in life too. So we'll go around the table and, you know, tell us a good thing. Tell us a bad thing. Tell us something you learned or whatever. And we're creating ways to communicate where we dig a little deeper and find out how they're doing at the heart level. So get good at using skillful questions. Number six, this is so practical, but it might be helpful. Observe every possible holiday or special day that might be affirming to them. As a mom and a dad or a spouse with your spouse, learn to observe every possible holiday or special day. What are you doing? You're affirming, you're connecting, you're cherishing, you're bringing a positive aspect to that relationship. You're taking advantage of something that's already there on the counter. So here are some ideas for you and your family, maybe your spouse or your kids, all right? Valentine's Day. Never let a Valentine's Day go by without doing something. That's an obvious one for husbands and wives. And you say, it hasn't been so obvious to us. Then from now on, make big of it. Well, we don't have any money. Then make your own card, okay? Go cut roses from the church bush, whatever you got to do, but make big of it, all right? Don't let a Valentine's Day pass. If God's given you children, make big of that with them. God's given me 3 daughters. You pray for me. Mariah's 14. Lydia's 13. Annalena's 11. And I make big a Valentine's Day for them. Why? Because some jerk eventually will, and I want to make sure I set the standard right, all right? So make big a Valentine's Day. A birthday. Make sure to remember a birthday. Don't let a birthday pass. Listen, we live in a time and culture and society where it's really hard to forget something. I mean, you can put a gazillion reminders in your life on your devices. They can ring, they can talk to you, they can call you, they can text you. You know, they probably didn't have an electric shock they can give you or something. I mean, there's a lot of things you can get to help you remember stuff. So make sure you plug that in whenever you have to do it. But remember birthdays and make them special. Maybe spiritual birthdays. Our family does that. In fact, we celebrated Annalene's spiritual birthday on vacation, July 3rd. And we did some special fun things for her in honor of that. Remember spiritual birthdays. Maybe the day they were baptized. Maybe the day they made a major spiritual decision, full-time Christian service, something of this nature. Maybe a graduation coming up, whether it's kindergarten or high school or whatever the case may be. Make big of that. If there's a special day out of school, there's an in-service day and the teachers are all doing some meetings or whatever and the kids don't have school, if you possibly can, rearrange your schedule. Get time with them. And if not, make sure it's fun for them and you be a part of that as quick and as much as you possibly can be. Maybe it's they're on a sports team and it's a baseball game or it's a basketball game or whatever. Make big of it. Be there. Be a part of it. Maybe they're playing the piano or the violin or something, and they're having a recital or a concert. Be there. Be a part of it. And you could come up with a million more, but look for opportunities to make big of special days. It communicates to them you care and you love. The Bible says in Psalms 127:3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Your children are God's reward to you. You want to make sure you treat them that way. And children who feel loved and connected, they feel that way when we delight and make special of these kinds of things. Number 7, work at being playful. Work at being playful. Now again, everybody in the room is different. Some of you don't have to work at being playful. You're just playful all the time. In fact, you have to work at working. your boss is like, please, could you just work, all right? No, I'm teasing. But some of you, more naturally, play comes natural, all right? Just that's who you are. You're a big kid at heart, and that's awesome. And some, not so much. That is the case. And they have to work at being playful. But I say work because no one in here always feels like being playful. But we have to work at being playful in our homes and our relationships. You see, a Velcro parent is someone who is playful. They're fun. They're willing to try something new. They laugh. They get off the couch. They get out of the house. They get adventurous. They tell a joke from time to time. They're paying attention to their children. They don't take themselves so seriously that they can't have any fun or lose themselves in some way. They like to celebrate things. They're engaged in their kids' lives. But a cactus parent, they're too tired. They're grouchy. They're critical. They're withdrawn. They're easily angered. I mean, it seems like it doesn't take much, and then they're just all upset about everything. They're absorbed in their own electronic devices. They're home, but they're not home. They're there, but they're not there. They're always on their phone. They're always on their tablet. They're always doing something else. Their spirit just communicates, leave me alone, go to your room. I don't want to spend time with you. We have to stop and think about it in our homes. Are we Velcro or are we cactus? And we have to work at being fun. I love the verse in Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A broken spirit, someone who doesn't have any fun ever, it's like sucking the life out of somebody. But someone who has a merry heart, it's like medicine. It's like, man, this feels good. I'm rejuvenated after being with that person. Is that you in your home? Is that the spirit you bring to the address in which you live? We've got to work at being fun. Work at being playful. Work at investing our relationship in this way. Number 8, look for ways to delight them. Look for ways to delight them. And I want to encourage you. This doesn't take much. One of the reasons I shared some of the things that we did on our vacation was because a lot of it was free. Now, Susanna would tell you that the angel's landing took a couple years off her life. But other than that, it was free, okay? that is not for those scared of heights. And Susanna definitely is. And I will tell you, that is the second time she's made it all the way to the top. In fact, we found out this year, 100,000 people do angel's landing a year. Only 10% make it to the top. And one out of every 100,000 die. We found that out this year. That encouraged Susanna's heart greatly before we went on our hike. but she did it. Afraid of heights, and she's done it twice, and she did amazing. But I shared some of the things we did on our vacation to share this. You don't have to spend a ton of money. Look for ways to delight in your kids. You don't have to spend $200 and go to Disneyland. It can be as simple as sitting down and writing a handwritten note. And just leave it for them. On their bed or on their dresser or wherever. It can be as simple as taking one of them out, just you and them, and going to 7-Eleven and getting Slurpee for a buck or two. It can be, hey, let's go outside and throw a ball. Let's go ride a bike. Let's build something out of Legos. Let's put a puzzle together. Let's play a game. Just something to connect, something to delight, something to communicate. I love you. I value you. I want to be connected to you. I love time with you. What do you love doing? I want to love doing it with you. Look for ways to delight them. Something that says, I thought about you and you are special to me. John 13:34, the Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The same love that we have received from the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to extend to those in our family. So we want to work at being complimentary. We want to work at being cheerful in our homes all the time. Now, that's not easy to do. Consistently being that way, it's going to take the filling of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit in our lives. But when we do that, think about the connection that can bring to your relationships. If you ever feel like your relationships are a little bit of a standoff, can I give you an idea? Try being nice. I know that's super simple and practical. I know it's old school, what grandma used to say, you know, but it works. People like being around nice people. People like being around people that like to be around them. People like being around people that make them feel special and loved. Can I ask you an honest question as we close? Does your spouse feel like you love them and they are special to you. Can I drive that one a little further home? Why should they feel that way? If we were the jury and you were on trial and you stand up here behind this podium and you tell us, here is why my spouse should feel my love and that they are special to me. And then you make your case. Why? And if you have no evidence to present, can I challenge you this week? Work on that. And with your children. Do your children know that you love them and that they are special to you? Work at it. We want to work at making our homes a place of connection. Let's not let this represent the relational status of our home, but rather let's work at being Velcro and bringing that together and using the principles in God's word to strengthen the relationships and the connections that He has given to us. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for a powerful morning at church and the challenge on prayer. Thank you for our time together in class this morning as we have been challenged not to be cactus, but to be Velcro, to work at bringing connection to the relationships that matter so much to us. And Lord, may we take these practical, simple, biblical ideas. May we implement them in our life and relationships, and may our home be strengthened as a result. Bless our class and every family, those that are traveling today as they come back. Bring us back again safely next Sunday is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.